Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Don't Fuck It Up with me, Kyle. And I just want to introduce our very special guest this week. It is the dancing diva of Essex herself from RuPaul's Drag Race UK, Miss Cheryl Hole. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello. Wait, that's RuPaul's line.
So how is life on lockdown for Cheryl Hole?
You'd think that it'd be nice, calm and relaxing, but for a drag queen, we just don't stop whilst we're on lockdown. It's all still go, 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 but from the comfort of our own home.
Yes. Is it not strange performing in your living room instead of on a stage?
Very strange. Barefoot and on carpet is always interesting.
Well, you've been keeping yourself busy with TikToks and all that kind of stuff, so it's better to see that than a drag queen having to not be able to share their art.
Exactly. And I'm very blessed that we live in a day and an age where technology and like social media platforms can still keep you working and keep yourself visible to all your fans and your friends without having to step out of your house.
Well, with the PG stage it shows, they've been massive. Everyone's doing them. And it's a great way for fans across the world to be able to still support you ladies in your careers.
Exactly. And I was very apprehensive on the first one because I didn't know what it was going to be like, whether I'd find it really awkward. But there's this sort of element of like, when you're performing on a stage, you're constantly looking around the room to see if the crowd's feeling it, if they're loving it. When you're just you and a computer screen and a camera, you're just like, well, I'm just going to have fun and have a ball and not feel the pressure of trying to make sure that everybody's enjoying it. And like, obviously you hope that everybody's enjoying it, but there's not that added element. I think I put too much pressure on myself.
Well, I think a lot of people do that, especially in your profession.
Oh yeah. And I've got to the point now where I've got to stop worrying if everybody's enjoying it and just know that I'm enjoying it. Yes. And I'm having fun doing it.
Yes, definitely. So what we do with our guests, usually we will go right back to the beginning of where all this started for you. When we look back to your early life, was performing always something that you did in like school, or was it something that came later in life?
Oh, totally. I've been a musical theatre dancing kid from the get-go. I mean, my parents knew that I was a fruity little child from the get-go, running around in my mum's shoes in a dressing gown, pretending I'm one of the Spice Girls. And then it wasn't until I was in like year one when the teacher that I had, she took my mum at the end of this school day and she went, I think he will benefit from going to this theatre school, burning off some steam and really letting his creativity flow. And then from then on, that was at 6 years old. And I stayed in that theatre school until I was 16, and then I moved on to college. So I've always had dance, theatre, singing, quote unquote. We all know I'm no singer, but it's always been a part of my life. And it's not just something that's crept in with drag. It wasn't until later on in my performance life, I won't say career because I never had a performance career, that I discovered drag. And it was the outlet that I wanted to use my creativity and my performance skills.
So before your introduction to drag, did you ever look at it as an art form that you could participate in before you did?
Well, from a very young age, drag was always around me through like Panto and through like Lily Savage and Dame Edna on your Saturday night TV. So it was always something that was visible. I just never actually clocked that I could end up doing it. And I think Drag Race definitely helped show that I could have a more contemporary take on drag. And it's not about pantos and stuff like that.
Yeah. So once you got introduced to drag, how did it all start? Was it just spur of the moment kind of thing by yourself in your bedroom, or did you do it? Did someone put you in drag?
So I first started dabbling in drag, like I say dabbling, like very loosely, in my final year of university. And I was like, this was my final year, was season 7 of Drag Race. So you had your Miss Fames, all the makeup queens, yes. Pearl, Violet. So I was like watching their makeup tutorials, and I went round to my friend's house And she was like, oh, well, we could try this makeup tutorial, because I had no clue how to do makeup. I barely know how to do it now. I was like, Charlotte, come on, Diva, put some makeup on my face. Obviously, still with a full beard on my face. I was not going to shave it off. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to start buying a few little bits. I bought a contour kit. I bought some lashes. My best friend who does drag now put me in drag, Precious, aka at Precious, that Precious Queen. Shameless plug for her.
Love that.
She put me into high hall drag. And honestly, the minute it was all on, I was like, I am here. I have arrived. And that very night, we birthed Cheryl Hole, because we got drunk on gin, 4 o'clock in the morning, listening to Girls Aloud. And we were like, punny names. And then Cheryl Hole happened, and I haven't changed my name since.
Well, that's pretty uncommon. Usually, from what I hear anyway, the drag queens usually start with one name and then end up finding their name that they stick with later down the line. Yeah. So you found a good one and stuck with it.
Well, I think for me, it's the one that spoke to me the most, because obviously I don't shut up about how much I love girl bands. So it was very on brand to be associated with the diva, like the real Cheryl.
And has your aesthetic ever changed in any way from the beginning of your drag career till now?
I think I was very lucky in the sense that I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my drag from the get-go. I wanted to be fringe bodysuits, dancing diva, twirling around on the stage, big blonde hair. I was very adamant that I was going to stick to the blonde family, because I've been blonde my entire life until for some reason the genes kicked in. I had very dark hair and I was like, no! But I have to say, I think that really helped me in the growth at the beginning of my career, because I knew exactly what I wanted to do. There was no real discovery aspect. So I just got to business, got crack-a-lacking and got hustling.
And then from you got into drag the first time, how did you go to performing on stage? How did you get there?
So I was working in a restaurant in 2016. I just moved back from university. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, because I did a degree in contemporary dance. And all my friends were like, we're going to stay in London, we're going to do auditions. And I was like, well, I don't really want to perform in contemporary dance. I enjoyed choreographing, and I specialized in choreography in my final year. So I was like, I don't see the point in struggling in living in London, doing a job where I'm not going to get an opportunity to create, to audition, just to pay rent. So I was like, I'm going to move back to Essex. And then I was like, I'll get a job in a restaurant, you know, just 4 days a week, pay the bills, and then I can still get creative. I blinked, 6 months had passed, and I'd gone from just a waiter to assistant manager. And I went, what are you doing with your life? Like, sometimes you just get stuck in this 9 to 5 every single day. Well, a restaurant's not 9 to 5, but you know what I mean. And you just go, you are not doing what you wanted to do. So I had to pause and go, I'm not happy I'm doing this. So I quit the job and I was like, let's start hustling. Let's try and get this drag thing on the go. And luckily, I saved up enough money doing that job that I could take 4 months off and just perfect my craft. And I've always said this my entire life. Life has this weird way of things popping up and things falling into place at the right times. And there was a sponsored post on Facebook for a new club night opening in my hometown. And they were like, we're looking for drag queens and dancers. And I was like,
tick, tick.
Well, this is my moment. So I sent over, they were like, send us a couple pictures of you in drag. And then they were like, we'll have a trial night and you come perform. And I was like, this is it. And then from then on, things just started falling into place. So Glitterbomb, which was the night, they have nights in Cambridge, Canterbury. They had one in Essex, but it's not anymore. And then they've got all like the student unions they do once a month. And from then on, they just picked me up. They were like, oh, we'll pop you in Canterbury. We'll pop you in Cambridge. And then I did a little competition in London, hosted by formerly known as Meth, now me. Me, the drag queen. And she did a competition to, it was more of a teaching people the art of drag. So each week had a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be a lip sync week, there'd be a look week, live vocals week, comedy week, etc., etc. Burlesque, I forgot about that one. I think I was still traumatized by that one. And it was giving drag queens that, one, hadn't had a chance to perform on a stage yet,
mm-hmm.
a platform, and two, giving them the skill sets and the knowledge of professionals in the London scene and passing it on to them. So it gave people an opportunity to find out what they wanted to do with their drag. And then from then on, that's when it started. And I was like, wow, my this God. Yeah.
The rest is history.
I was very blessed. The rest is drag, mama.
And like you said, you have always openly discussed your love of girl bands. And your namesake comes from a girl band. Where did this fascination with girl bands start?
I think it was from a very early age, and I've got to thank the Spice Girls for that, because my uncle, we went for dinner a while back, and he was like, I always knew you were going to get into something very creative like this, because my earliest memory of you is saying, Uncle Nigel, I want to be a Spice Girl. And I think there was something that just resonated with me. Mm. I love pop music. It's like the only thing I really listen to. I love all the cheesy stuff. But like, there's something about a girl group and the power of women all coming together that just really resonates with me. And I think that's stuck with me my entire life. The timeline of girl groups through the British UK chart history, you had the Spice Girls, then you had Girls Aloud, then you had the Sugar Babes, then you had the Saturdays, then you had Little Mix. So these girl groups, they all have their own little timeline in, well, I know it sounds really selfish, in my life.
Yes.
Each moment in my life has had a poignant girl group to inspire me.
Mm.
And even now, like, the Spice Girls and Girls Aloud still inspire everything that I do, even though they're not creating new content.
Mm-hmm. I was at meeting the likes of Jerry and Cheryl and Jade from the three biggest girl bands ever, and standing in front of them being such a massive girl band fan.
Each week that went on, I was just like, what the hell is happening? Like, firstly, you're on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mind blow in itself. Then every single week, you're like doing a challenge that you're like, I am living from. I have to say, from 4, 5, 6, those episodes were the ones that I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
And 7 too. But those were like, oh, we're doing this challenge. Oh my God, this person's going to be here. And it's just like, when you're there, you're in this bubble. And everything moves so quickly that you don't really have a chance to process it at the time. So I'm just stood here just like, is this really happening? But you've just got to go with the flow. You don't have time to freak out.
Yeah.
So I like, I didn't even get critiqued by Jerry. So I didn't really get that one-on-one time. But Eva just being in her presence, I was like, this is Jerry bloody Halliwell, aka Horner from the Spice Girls. But I have to say, post-Drag Race, just being on Celebrity Juice with Mel B as well, I was like,
surreal.
This is weird. And like, lots of people, I know they want to talk about me meeting Cheryl a lot, because they're just like, that must have just been crazy for you. But we were just like, I was so chill, and everybody was expecting me to freak out, but I'm not like a fangirl, like, oh, you've changed my life. Like, for me, I'm just very, I think of each other as, we're all in the same industry. We're all doing the same job. Mm-hmm. I respect and admire everything that they do in their career and their work. It's not like, I'm your biggest fan. I'll follow you until you love me, paparazzi. Although I did put up a picture that me and Cheryl took at the Attitude Awards back in like September, because everybody was like, you know, the real Cheryl's here. Are you going to go meet her? And I was like, already back. But I couldn't obviously say that. Yeah. And then she was like, babe, what are you doing here? And I was like, I've got invited as well, Shez.
There's two on the table this time.
Exactly. So we got a little snap together and somebody took a picture of us having a picture together and it just went around Twitter. And I was like, oh, for God's sake, I'm going to get in so much shit for this.
You are in your own girl band. And yes. The take on Girls Aloud, Gals Aloud. Would you describe that as a girl band or would you describe that as kind of like a tribute band?
Do you know what? Everybody thinks that it's like a tribute, like we do like a full concert. The show itself and what we do is like a parody, funny take on everything that they do. So like Kitty Scott-Claus, who plays Kimberly, she does a whole... She's rewritten one of the songs from Shrek the Musical about being Kimberly and Girls Aloud and getting no lines and being the forgotten one. And then Her the Queen, who plays Nadine, she does the infamous, Mommy, have you seen my passport? Did a birth 15th of the 685, like a mate, a Gemini. Honestly, so like the show, we just have funny moments. So it's like, a lot of the show is like us ganging up on Nadine. Do you know in like Biology and Love Machine, Nadine sings the majority of the song.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we're stood at the back of the stage like, until the next person, and then we just grab her. So that's what we do. It's not really a tribute. You're not coming to see like an ABBA tribute. You're coming to see a drag show with a comedy twist.
That's a great explanation. That gives people an idea of what to expect when they go to a Gals Aloud show.
Oh, it's campus tits.
And I've seen that you had scheduled a tour recently that has now been rescheduled. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, thanks to Miss Corona. We were actually meant to start our first dates at the Brighton Fringe Festival the weekend just been. It's quite sad to think, because prior to Drag Race, I spent a lot of my time with these girls. They are my best friends. They're my drag sisters. And we get to do this amazing show together and spend all this time together. And since the cast being announced and then getting on the road, I didn't really get that chance to have that time doing shows with them. So I was really looking forward to having these couple of dates doing shows with them and doing the show that essentially I co-created, that I'm just sad that we don't get to do it. But obviously things will happen. Things will get rescheduled. It's just, obviously Miss Corona's just putting her foot down on this all.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it gives people something to look forward to once this is all over then.
Exactly. And we've just got to go, well, it gives us more time to make the show even better.
Exactly. And who else is in that band for anyone that's listening that doesn't know?
So we've got Lydia Lascabies, plays Sarah. We've got Ophelia Love, she's Nicola Roberts. Kitty Scott-Claus as Kimberly Walsh. Her the Queen as Nadine. And obviously Cheryl. And then obviously when times are able to, we have the amazing Taste, and she makes the comeback as Javine. The return of Javine.
That's a good, it's a proper show then. It's not just, like you said, it's not just a tribute act. You're going to see a proper drag show, comedy, songs, dancing, everything.
The lot, the works. And like, I take it very seriously. So if we've got a number that we're doing, which is like the full choreo, I'll be like, girls, I'll whip them into shape. I'll make sure that everything's spot on and how it was on their live tours.
So once you started doing TV appearances, you appeared on, was it BBC Breakfast?
Oh my God, yeah.
Way back when. How was that? Like, how did that come about?
It was the strangest thing, because I was scheduled to appear at Drag World which was the convention in London in 2018? Oh my God, it was. Bloody hell, time flies by. Yeah, so that was in 2018. And I was doing a little meet and greet at our booth. And my fiance Hayden came over and he was like, you might want to see this email. And it was an email from BBC Breakfast saying they wanted to pick up the Newsbeat interview I did about the convention. And they wanted to do it on BBC Breakfast. Oh. They were like, we want to talk about the UK drag scene. We want to talk about the convention. We want to talk about what you get up to, et cetera, et cetera. And they were like, we need you in full drag at 7 o'clock in the morning in Manchester. And I was like, we're in London right now. So we had to leave the convention, pack our entire hotel room up, and then get on the first train up to Manchester. And I was like, bloody hell. Yeah, me walking across the television studios in a media city in Manchester in full drag at 7 o'clock in the morning. There was some very confused looks.
And speaking of your fiance, hadn't you also done Your Face or Mine with Jimmy Carr and Catherine Ryan? How was that? Oh. Like that show, it seems so funny watching it, but I think some people can take offense to some of the jokes on the show because it's essentially judging people by their appearance.
Exactly. And like, it's not a serious show. It's a comedy show. Mm. And if you're getting yourself in for it, you've got to take everything with a pinch of salt. Like we did it for a laugh. And yeah. The funny thing is we got a direct message on Instagram from the casting producer. And he was like, hey, are you single? I'm casting for a TV show. And I was like, nope. Happily engaged. And he was like, well, if that's the case, I'm casting for Your Face or Mine as well. And I was like, oh, really? So that was one of those things that they were casting for one thing, but It just so happened that they could cast you for something else. So we were like, well, we've got to lose. And a lot of people that go on TV shows like Your Face or Mine, they leave getting butthurt because they've got loads of secrets. Like The round where they've got the mystery guest coming out and they've got exes that they slept with 2 weeks ago. Like, we had nothing to hide. And I think because we were so genuine, we had fun with it and we weren't like trying to put on a front.
Yeah.
Like I've watched a couple episodes where people on that show, they're pretending to be like Billy Big Bollocks. And I'm like, hun, just be yourself. Because everybody sees through a facade and sees you being fake.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's the point? Just be genuine. Mm-hmm. And like we finished filming and Jimmy and Catherine were like, that has to be one of the most fun episodes we've filmed at this. And you two are such a genuine couple. And we were like, thank you so much. And then a couple of weeks later, Catherine came to one of my shows. She was like, can you get me a table? And I was like, girl,
done.
Sorted.
Both of them seemed so like upbeat and fun on the show. Is it the same kind of energy while you're there?
Oh, what you see is what you get, especially with them two. I mean, Jimmy is very, like, I don't want to say standoffish. He likes to get to know you before he lets his guard down kind of thing. Whereas Catherine from the get-go, she was hugging, saying how excited she was. Because they obviously get briefed beforehand who they've got coming in. So I think they knew they were in for a good time.
I was a teaching Catherine Ryan to death drop.
Honestly, I'm petrified anytime somebody asks me how to do a death drop because I'm like, you're just going to hurt yourself. if you haven't got a skill set in dance and know the fundamentals of like where you should place yourself, how to watch your back and all that. But Catherine, she knew what she was doing before she even stepped on that set.
Just boom, down, done.
Done, finish, print, Emmy.
Not long after that was when Drag Race happened. And so what was your initial decision on auditioning? Was it always something that you were going to do as soon as the show was announced?
I have always aspired to being on Drag Race. It's not something that I've had set as a goal, but it's something, if it ever came up, I was obviously going to go for it. And I just never thought it would actually happen in the UK. It'd been talked about for 5-6 years before it actually happened. And I was like, look, if it happens, I'm going for it. If it doesn't, I'm having an amazing time doing the gigs and working and hustling like I am now. Mm-hmm. And we were actually driving back from a gig at 2 o'clock in the morning, and Hayden, my fiance, looked on his phone and he was like, "They're casting for Drag Race UK." And I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, you know what?
Done.
We're going to make this happen. I'm going to go for it. And the process is very quick, that you're just like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, let's film this video. Filmed it all in our house, filmed it in the corridor. And I'm not one for doing like big productions and whatnot. What you see is what you get. And you're just going to see me in my Essex house, just living my best life.
That's the best way to be, because then they get to know the, like you said, the real you. Once you had found out you got cast, do you remember that moment? Like, do you know where you were? Everyone says like the biggest moments in your life, you remember exactly where you were and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I had been awake about 10 minutes. this was at like 11:30 in the morning. And I got a text to then let them know, well, it's okay to call.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh my God, is this it? Because you never know if they're going to be like, thank you so much. Unfortunately, it's not your year this year. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, congratulations, you've made it. And I was like, ah! And I was like, is this real? Is this happening? And then before you know it, you're there. The race begins then.
And you mentioned there about being your real self, but there were some people that would criticize you on the show for saying that you weren't being the real Cheryl. Do you think there was any, like looking back, do you think there was any truth in them statements from watching the show yourself?
No. I will hold my hands up and say I was pumped with Red Bull from the minute I woke up in the morning until the minute we left set. And when you're filming, it's a very long day. So we all know I'm a big personality and I'm a loud mouth and I like to not shut my mouth. Why don't you add 15 cans of Red Bull into the mix? Of course I'm going to be over the top and just like, woo, I'm loving life. It's not me pretending I'm nothing. I'm not. Mm. Like, I was 100% genuine. And in hindsight, a lot of people have actually seen that and said, because I got a lot of hate on that episode, because really? People were like, oh, she's so fake. Why is she just pretending to be Alyssa Edwards? Why is she not being her true self? And I was like, I was being myself. And you will see by episode 7 how genuine I was. And even in the next episode, people were like, oh, she's actually cool. She's fun. And like, she is actually like that. And I think it's because Viv didn't get the chance me yet. She was only seeing what I was doing from the other side of the room.
Yeah,
she wasn't coming over. And like, now I have to say me and Viv are probably one of the closest.
Oh, that's pretty good. You and my hometown queen Blue Hydrangea got a very close friendship on the show. How did that start? Was it just because you were the two kind of younger queens in the competition? And
I think for me and Blue, we had both been following each other before even really the casting happened.
Okay.
So we knew of each other. We knew what our personalities were like through like your Instagram lives and your Instagram stories and your posts and whatnot. And you can normally tell we're going to get on. We're going to get on really well. And I walked into that workroom. I saw she was there and I was like, oh, bitch, this is going to be me and you till the end. And I was almost at the end.
Just one episode.
To go packing though. But no, when we were there, we could just tell that we were gonna get on so well. So any opportunity we could, we was gonna be next to each other. We did try and set our makeup stations up together, but Miss Scaredy jumped in right next to me.
She's like,
and Blue looked over. Yeah, Blue looked over at me. She was like, "Oh, this isn't gonna happen then."
And
sorry, she had to sit next to Davina's laughing.
You have a tour coming up with Blue as well called the Whole Hydrangea Tour. Or
yes.
The way I wrote it down was Whole Drangea Tour.
That's what we wanted to call it. We wanted to call it the Whole Drangea Tour, but we thought it'd get a bit too complicated for people.
Yeah. Again, that has been rescheduled because of Miss Corona.
Yes.
It's not the friend of a drag queen that's trying to get out there and perform.
We just want to put on a bloody show for everybody, but Miss Corona's got other ideas.
For the people that have bought tickets for this show that has been rescheduled, what can they kind of expect from you and Blue during the show? Do you have any surprises in store?
A lot of these double act tours tend to just, you know, just be like, I'm going to do a number, then I'm going to do a number, then I'm going to do a number. We're very much making sure that this show is both of us. And so it's not just going to be like, oh, we're going to do one double act now. We've created an entire story from start to finish involving both of us, taking us on a journey. We've got a few surprises. We've got lots of costume changes in store. And it's just going to be a production.
I can't wait. I will be there in Belfast.
I can't wait. I honestly...
That's one thing I felt like we missed out on was when you done the season one tour and you couldn't... It wasn't in Belfast. I was like, damn it. I wanted to see all these queens in person.
Oh, yeah. But luckily, me, Blue and Viv came to Belfast shortly after. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun, I have to say. Belfast has been one of my favourite gigs that I've ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what possessed me to jump off the stage and get into the crowd in the middle of it. But you know when you're just feeling it, you're in the moment, you're having a camp old time. I was just like, let's get in with everyone. Don't worry, I'm never going to stage dive at a show. I will never want to break anybody's arms.
That seems to be a thing that queens have got into a lot more in the recent times is crowd surfing. Every time I see a drag queen at GAY, they seem to crowd surf.
It seems to be like the divas of season 11 were just like, I'm going to jump off the stage. And I'm like, you're all skinny. You're skinny bitches. Of course you could do that. It's like 6 stone, like,
And once the cast had actually been announced, how did you find the fan reactions towards you on social media?
Do you know what? I have to say, I was very lucky to have such a great response from the get-go. I think people just saw me as one of the girls, one of the real, like, you can find me walking down a high street. I'm not trying to be like, I am the queen supreme. I'm just like, I'm here for a good time. I think that's what people resonated with, because I'm just here to have a good time, put on a good show and just be a tit in a wig.
that's the main aim of your game, is to have fun and enjoy yourself and entertain. So yeah, some people take it a wee bit too seriously. Especially the Drag Race fandom can overstep some boundaries sometimes, but that's
we don't need to get into that.
No, definitely not. So since the show, you've been keeping yourself busy. Obviously, recently you've been kind of the face of Virgin Media's quarantine videos, which is unreal. Just be scrolling on Facebook and see Virgin Media and then you're dancing in your living room.
Oh, yeah. It's quite funny because people comment like, she's been on TV. Why does her lounge look so boring? And I'm like, darling, we've been out on the road. I've not been worrying about my house. Right.
It's like, are you an interior decorator? What's your opinion for?
Exactly. But I've had so much fun creating those videos and just having a camp all time doing that.
It puts a smile on people's faces when they're stuck inside, at least.
Yeah, it's not a serious thing. I'm not here like, I am a yoga instructor and I'm showing you how to do the downwards dog. I'm just like, we're having a camp all time. Let's keep moving. Let's have fun.
And you had said earlier about Celebrity Juice. How was that to film? It seemed like, again, you had a great time doing that show.
Oh, Celebrity Juice is one of those shows that is just so chaotic and so ridiculous that you never know what you're going to get yourself in for, but you've just got to roll with it and have fun. And that's very much me. It's just like, whatever you're going to throw at me, I'm just going to have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And like, to be on a panel with such like prestigious celebrities, I was like, you want little old me here? And they were like, yeah, we think you're hilarious. And like Keith Lemon himself at the end of the film, he was like, thank you so much for coming on. Like, my whole family loved you on Drag Race. And I was like, you watched it.
And again, you were death dropping on Celebrity Juice. So I kind of thinking the main channels of TV, you've kind of death dropped on every one of them. BBC, ITV, Comedy Central.
I'm working on Channel 5.
That's next on the list.
Yes.
So what has been your highlight since filming the show?
Do you know what? There's not like, oh, I did this amazing thing. I think just generally being given the opportunity to travel up and down this country and see all the faces of the people that support you and admire what you do has been my biggest achievement since filming, because you could say, oh, I'm doing this massive campaign with Virgin or doing this or doing that. And like, those things are amazing. But without the support of the people coming to your shows, I wouldn't be doing any of this. So I'm just so humbled and blessed that I get to travel around, put on my shows and see all these amazing people that support what I do.
What are you looking forward to most once quarantine is over?
Having a meal.
A meal out that you don't have to cook?
Exactly. Even though I don't cook myself, Hayden cooks everything because it's another thing that I'm useless and mediocre at. But no, I just want to get back out on the road and start putting these shows on. Like, I've got a few numbers in the bag I want to do. I want to perform the entire of Chromatica from start to finish.
I've seen those TikToks that you've been putting up recently for Rain On Me. And
well, brilliant. Gal, TikTok hates Gaga, apparently, because every time I put a TikTok up, they just take it down.
Do they tell you why, or is it just gone?
They never tell me exactly what it is, but we think it's to do with quote-unquote impersonation. And I'm like, do you not see all these kids throwing on a cheap old blonde wig and pretending to be the GC, but you don't take their videos down? But mine, when I'm just dressed as me, not even trying to be Gemma, gets taken down. I'm like, well, you know, so if TikTok takes one more video down of mine, I will be having words with them.
Gemma Collins was another good part of your Drag Race stint. How did you characterize her? Did you just kind of be yourself with her characteristics, or did you completely change yourself?
So a lot of people are like, Cheryl's just being Cheryl, she's not being Gemma. And I'm like, we are basically the same person. So I was like, I have been doing shit in this competition, so I'm gonna play to my strengths. And I've had the pleasure of working with Gemma a couple of times, hosting some club events with her. And there's a funny video, I'll get Hayden to send it to you after this, where she's on Instagram Live backstage at one of the shows, and she's like, I've got glittery trainers on today. And then I come walking into the dressing room, girls, and she's like, oh, Cheryl, here she is, my face! Cheryl, my little angel. God bless her.
She seems like she's a good time to party with.
She loves her Moët, she loves a brandy, and she loves J-Ho by the Pussycat Dolls.
I can imagine her getting on the dance floor with that song.
It's just like, J-Ho!
And so, obviously, once quarantine is lifted, what are your upcoming projects that you can discuss now? Like, things that you're looking forward to?
Well, a lot of the things that we were meant to be doing during lockdown have just been pushed back and rescheduled. So I'm very excited to get on the tour with Blue up and down this country, because we have been planning this for so long. And like, with the more time that we get, the better the show is going to be.
Yeah.
So you guys are in for a treat in December. And I'm very excited because we get the opportunity to go to Australia in November. Obviously, quarantine.
Hopefully.
Reasoning or whatever. Yeah. But no, I'm very excited because that's one of the places that I've been dying to go to, and we finally get the opportunity to.
Is that with the Top 5 tour, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So all the divas reunited. The Frock Destroyers and two parts of Phil Farmony.
And what about merchandise and stuff that people can support you now while we're in this, instead of being able to go to a show? Is there a way that they can get merchandise?
So we are doing a few exclusive things that we have on my official website, CherylHoleQueen.com/diva-products. So we got your signed prints, we've got a few t-shirts, but the bulk of my merch is available on Tuck Shop. Mm-hmm. So you can get that at store.tuckshop.co.uk. Don't quote me on that, just Google it. Or you can find it on the merch part of my website. And we've thrown up a few new t-shirt designs, a few hoodies. I mean, you always want to be snug when it's raining in the UK, because it might be summer, but, you know, we're still going to get some rain. And we've even got Shezza socks on there. So you can have my face on your little tuglets.
Can you let the listeners know your social media handles where they can follow you?
So you can find me on all good social medias, even TikTok, even though I'm still going strong with that one, on the Universal at, which is at Cheryl Holequeen.
I like a universal handle. It's easy to find you on every platform.
Exactly. I can't be doing like one for Twitter, one for Instagram. You've just got to have something that everybody can find you on the same.
Definitely, definitely. So Cheryl, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. It's been amazing sitting down and speaking with you.
Oh, Diva, it's been an absolute pleasure. I love chatting. You know, I do. But it's been so lovely to chit chat with you. And it's so nice to hear another Belfast accent that's not just Blue going, well, what's the crack?
I couldn't imagine me and Blue doing one of these podcasts and poor people having to listen to two Belfast accents at one time. It's hard enough listening to one.
A podcast with Nadine, that would be hilarious.
that's on my list. I have to get her to recite that famous passport line though. So
I'm Nadine Cole, I'm from Larkhill in Derry, date of birth 15th of 6th 85. I'm like a Gemini, and what date of birth did I just say?
That's brilliant. But again, Cheryl, thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
And you too, Dave. Look after yourself.
You too. Bye.
Bye!